All right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network. Kevin Keyes right here on a Monday. Thank you for joining me, and thanks for dialing us in here on the radio station. We are online radio, and of course, we've got our app as well. If you got any questions on how to dial that up, I'm still amazed by the people who aren't sure, and they do reach out to me on Facebook, and that's awesome, and I will walk you through it. I will come to your home and download the app for you. I will come to your home and I will go to the website for you. I will send you a link if you send me your phone number. We've got easy ways to listen now, friends, and we're trying to make it easier every day. So, right now, knsradionetwork.com, and then click listen now and you can hear what's going on live if you didn't already know that. But if you're listening, you probably do. So, let me talk myself out of this corner here. Well, happy Monday, and thank you again for being here sincerely, and thanks to our community-minded partners. We've got Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction Frankfort, ProByte Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting, all from the KNS Radio Network. Couple things I wanted to talk about today is one in particular, and we will have we've got some developing stories. Number one, we will be continuously monitoring Wednesday afternoon after 4 o'clock the Melissa Trump decision by the Clinton County Sheriff's Department Merit Board, and they are going to have a finding of fact at around 5 p.m. I believe. I'll have to check. It's either 4 or 5. And they will decide her fate that night. I'm going to be there for you this Wednesday, and I will have that for you on Facebook with the full story Wednesday evening, as KNS and myself, which is KNS, were the only media group to go cover that 7-hour meeting last Wednesday night, that hearing, so to speak. And I'm in it to do it for you, obviously. I'm not doing this for my health. I'm interested in my community as well and how things work. I'm a little disappointed in Casper Media and the Frankfort Times newspaper. There's a couple other people who do some news occasionally, and I know everyone has jobs and some people do things part-time, so I'm not going to sit here and like throw bombs at people, but if that's what you do full-time as a media outlet or group, you sure should, you're missing the boat. And it makes my job easier. It gets me more listeners and people respect it more. And there's a reason that those two media groups, the Times and Casper Media, weren't there. They're afraid they'll have to report on something that may make the commissioners a little uneasy, or make someone else feeling a little insecure or uncomfortable. God forbid, right? So I'm going to take myself and my microphone wherever the hell it leads me on whatever news story I've got the time to cover after I get done with my full-time job. So I'm just a little disappointed. But again, it brings the listeners to me, and people know that I am picking and choosing and going to what I can and covering what I can for you, as I literally, I'm not looking for sympathy, but I'm a one-man band right now. I am KNS Radio. I hate to sound like Donald Trump, but it's kind of the truth there. Okay, there's something that's really been pissing me off, friends, and I have talked about it a little bit on here on the radio. I've talked about it a lot on Facebook, and sometimes when you post something on Facebook and you get a lot of likes, it kind of, especially in a short amount of time, it gives you a sense of if you're on the right track on something. And particularly with me, when I post something personal on my personal page, I get quite a few likes and reactions normally. On this next thing I want to talk about, I posted this last Wednesday night, I think. It was when I came home from that Melissa Trump hearing. It was about 10:30, I got in, I came in, I gave Shell a kiss, I woke her up and pissed her off. It was, you know, I mean, it's just the way it goes. Gave her a kiss, came out in the living room, fixed myself a frozen pizza, typed my story over the course of an hour, hour and a half, shared it to Facebook, went to bed, got up and did it all over again at 5 a.m. Around 11 o'clock, I heard two vehicles, and I didn't have a chance to get to like the windows because most of you know where I live, downtown on a corner, in a building, yes, not homeless. And so when you go to my windows, you can look out onto Jackson Street and see what's going on in the downtown area. So unfortunately, I did not do that. I did not get up and walk over to the window because I figured by the time I got over there, they would be gone. I wouldn't be able to tell exactly who it was. But I heard, and again, this is about 11 o'clock last Wednesday night, on what would be on Jackson Street, corner of Jackson and Washington, I heard a and a big revving up of two vehicles. Pretty sure they were rice burner Hondas, smaller souped up cars with the glass packs and the real loud annoying muffler system, or lack of, it sounds like. But there's actually a muffler under there. And a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about as far as that annoying noise. It's like if they have a stick shift, they're going down the road and you hear the real loud cracking. It's hard for me to do. I know my sound effects suck, but the budget is tight here. So I could probably actually step out and record it one night, and maybe I'll do that for you. So I didn't go over to see exactly what make and model the car was, but I'm betting bottom dollar it was a couple Mexicans in a Honda. Now, they may have not been Mexican, so I'll retract that, but it was some small modified car, and it was 11 o'clock, and they were revving up, waiting either for the stoplight to turn green or for when they felt it was time to squeal, peel out. And that time came after revving it, you know, three or four times, really long, really extensive, really loud for a long time. And then they took off, and it was squealing wheels, and it was, you could tell that these people were going like 80 miles an hour by the time they reached Clinton. Between Washington and Clinton, one quarter of the square, so to speak. You could tell, I could just tell by hearing it, they had garnered some really quick speed in a short amount of time. And so I got on Facebook because it pissed me off at the moment. And like I said, I just came home from the Melissa Trump hearing. And so I was kind of, you know, worked up. And I knew I had this story to write and commentary to do the next morning. And so I just got on Facebook and I said, hey, to you two dill holes who are spinning out in souped up rice burners in downtown Frankfurt over the course of 3 minutes, revving, spinning out, and then driving around the square at 80 mile an hour, go home and cuddle up with each other. I wanted to say more, but I deleted that part. I'll be watching because I live here and I have kids that play here. You come here and do that in the daytime so we can talk about it. Kevin Keith was feeling pretty sassy that night, all right? And then I called him stupid asses. And again, most things that I post online on Facebook, they'll get quite a few reactions, but this one immediately got a lot of reactions that night and the next night. And I kind of monitored it and watched it, and I think it's up to like 42 now, but the quickness of people who liked it and the amount of time that they liked it in really surprised me, and it just reiterated that this is a freaking problem. It's been a problem for the entire almost 4 years that we've lived in downtown, literally downtown Frankfurt. This goes back to even when the police station was at the building that's deteriorating now behind the library. This goes back to that time. I'm not going to sit here and say, where's the cops? because the cops weren't here when they were two blocks from my house. I don't expect a cop to set on the Frankfurt Square every single night. But I do expect them to, when they hear people complaining about it, and I guess it takes a phone call, but I'd like to think that they're a little more observant than that. It doesn't take a phone call. If you see things on social media, as we know they do, do something about it. Come down and show some presence, because just being there and having a cop car there will, at least I hope, cause them, whoever's doing it, to be a little more mindful and maybe a little more respectful. It really made it pissed me off, and I was already. I'm sorry if you hear noises from the computer in the background. I'm trying to do two things at once here. I was already mad because of the revving up, and I knew everyone in the home was asleep except for me, at least was asleep. Like I said, I'd woke my girlfriend up, given her a kiss a few minutes earlier, so she was already kind of pissed off. But she digresses. And then, obviously, she heard this. She didn't see the post until the next day. But I wanted to go through my comments here of what I got for this, because again, it's a problem, and the sheriff's department could do something about it too, at least in the form of presence. I did a couple hashtags. We're tired of it. Mass deportation. Can't come soon enough. Hashtag help us innocent residents. Now, if it was white gringos, I'd be saying the same thing, and I will gladly change my hashtag to you're a stupid white gringo if I find out it was white folk, which I'll never have the opportunity to find out. But Gary Schaible, he commented, and he said he lives on South Jackson Street Raceway, close to town. That's what he calls it. And I know right where Gary lives, the area. Gary and I are friends on Facebook, and we've never met in person, but he always posts about people driving way too damn fast down Jackson Street. And the fact of the matter is, this made me aware that people drive way too fast, and this is a small segment, not you and I. We're responsible, mature adults, but I'm talking about kids or those who care to buck the law or feel confident that they're not going to get pulled over because of their ethnicity. They're taking advantage of this. Gary goes on to say, I feel the frustrations. The only radar is set up by the fairground, and they know it. The cars are extremely loud, and so are the motorcycles, radios, and this is at all hours of the day and night. We have one driver who thinks he has a hot car because it backfires a lot. And Gary, I know that damn car. The Jake braking semis are a bunch of crap too. I'm not sure what Jake braking are, but I've seen some semis that are pretty rude on the downtown square. I think for the most part the semis try to stay away from the square, and I don't blame them. The other thing is, we've got a lot of industrial trucks, and there's a lot of work going on the square right now. So I get the construction trucks and the haulers and, you know, all that. This isn't what that is. He goes on to say, maybe someday we will get a change in administration and somebody who isn't worried about what ice cream is the flavor of the day. Now, that's Gary's comment and opinion. My girlfriend posted, I feel ya. My girlfriend posted, same bullshit every night, like clockwork. And you know what? She's right. And for my girlfriend to complain, she has a small circle. You got to understand, she has like 32 people on her Facebook group. She went through and got rid of like a bunch of people a couple years ago because she keeps a small circle. She's smart in that regard. I'm not in that regard. I have 3,000 people on my page, and I like it that way. I'm more of an outgoing guy. She's a little more reserved until you get to know her. Then she's crazier than hell, but I love her. Paul Barnes says, where's the police? Gary Schabel replied to Paul and said, in our area, they stay up by the fairgrounds. After they pass them, they floor it to almost downtown. I've seen a lot of quickness driving between the fairgrounds and downtown as well. And we all know there's always one or two city police sitting out there at the fairgrounds. Jody Filippo Stewart, she said, Paul Barnes paid to look the other way at this point in time. This is the crimes against humanity we see in other countries. Look how many Americans have been brainwashed by our bought and paid governments. The elite regime is the attacker on Boone County. History does repeat itself. Now you say, Kevin, what the hell does that have to do with what you're talking about? And I'll be honest, I'm not sure entirely other than I know Jody Stewart, and she's a right-minded thinker like most of us. Paul Barnes goes on to expand that he lives on East Washington Street, east of Hoke, and it's a dangerous street, he says. Speeders and semi-trucks, dump trucks, speeding school buses even. It's a treacherous street to attempt to cross at times. And he's talking about East Washington Street, east of Hoke. Okay? I mean, it's a residential area. Mary Lynn Peters said, probably the same from Saturday night. And I'm going to refer to that in a moment. Cheryl Bartley said, I think Mash Road has turned into a drag strip. Cheryl lives on Mash Road, and I think you're right. Now, most of us drive the speed limit. Again, most of us mature adults, because we know there's usually a cop somewhere near the school. Okay, they set pretty much out in the open. But there's a segment of the community who can get away with it. And I think at this point, they don't give a shit, and they know they can get away with it. Lindsay Wills says, same for East Green as they come and go to TPA Park. I jokingly said, we're considering buying some spike strips or stop sticks from Temu. And so I wanted to go back to Mary Lynn Peters. She said probably the same from Saturday night. And last Saturday night, she posted, whoever the idiot was last night around 1 a.m. that decided to burn out with his loud car and drive around making all kinds of noise, congratulations. You were louder than the Mexican nightclub on Main Street. She got 15 reactions, 23 comments. And that was kind of funny what she said, because if you know Mary Lynn, you know. But it's just people are talking about this. And I think they have been for quite some time. But I'm going to ask nicely of the Frankfort Police Department and the Clinton County Sheriff's Department, please, please, please come downtown and do something about this. Again, if nothing else, your presence will be felt. And if it doesn't stop them down, slow them down, guess what? You have the right to pull them over. And please come down here and pull them over. Write some damn tickets. I don't care what their ethnicity is, but I'm here to tell you, when they stop at a stoplight and I'm downstairs on the corner smoking, it's a lot of Latinos, okay? I'm just putting it out there. So, again, I'm asking nicely as a resident who walks these streets and has kids on these streets who are walking to the playground or the fair, some kind of park to play basketball or football over at Prairie Creek Park, or walking to their friend's house or getting on their bikes and going and just being a kid. So I'm asking nicely, please, please be more considerate of this, because they're not being considerate to us as American taxpayers. And if this is two 19-year-old white kids, I want them cited just as much as if it's Latino youngsters, okay? I don't care what the ethnicity is. I care about what's going on and the end result of this, because it's bullshit. This is our downtown Frankfort Square. And I think this short commentary here will probably resonate with a lot of people because of the reactions I got from my post. I was surprised I got that many. I was really surprised I got that many in a short amount of time. So That's pretty much what I have to say. Now, there's also rednecks who come into town, and these are proven white guys, who have souped up trucks and like to floor it between stoplights. And I'm asking nicely again of the Frankfort Police Department, the Clinton County Sheriff's Department, pull them over too and give them a citation, because that's just as disrespectful and just as annoying. And a lot of times it's broad daylight when this happens, but a lot of times it's evening, it's night, it's late night, and they feel like they could get away with it more. And that's where we need to be more aware. And I would just like to see that. If I don't see some change, I don't know what I'm going to do. I would probably do the formal call to the police department. But again, it's one of those things that once it happens, it's no longer a crime. Or, you know, do they have better things to do than sit down? Maybe they do. Maybe that's your argument saying, Kevin, shut the hell up. But I have a feeling that this commentary here will have more favorable impact than a not favorable impact. I think this is something that people who live in town, and that's the other thing, based on the comments from my post, this isn't just a downtown Frankfort, Indiana thing. This is a Clinton Street thing. This is an East Washington Street thing. This is a Barner Street thing. This is a 39 by the fairgrounds thing. And I just think it's important that maybe we start cracking down a little bit on people who are intentionally giving us the middle finger when it comes to being on the roads and having that privilege to drive. So I'm going to leave that at that. I can't tell you how often this happens, friends. On a serious note, I can't tell you how often this happens. And there's so many times I want to, and it all happens so quickly sometimes. Like I said, if I'm downstairs smoking, which I'm trying to quit, by the way, I'll tell you about that on another program. If I'm downstairs smoking, it's like I'll hear it coming, and sometimes I've thought to get my microphone out on my phone or get a video camera pulled up and do it. But by then it's, you know, but I might start doing that. And I don't know what I need the end result to be, but I need something to change. I just need people to be a little more respectful. And I know you're saying, Kevin, you sound like a cranky old man. Shut the hell up. Well, this is my radio station. And again, I think this will resonate with a lot of people, because I've heard it. I've heard it from people who don't even have Facebook, and I've heard it from all over, particularly downtown and east, and some west. But that's what I got to say about that. Please, if you're listening and you're one of those people, there is no need to rev up your damn car. One of the community corrections officers joked with me because they find it annoying as hell too. All these business owners find it annoying as hell. It's just some people can't say things for obvious reasons, and I understand and respect that. But the joke is if you have this big, loud truck, you have a small penis. I know. I normally don't use words like that. But that's the joke. That's like the online thing, is you're making up for your lack of manhood by driving this big, souped-up, lifted truck. I find it funny as hell. And one of the community corrections officers, the other day, we were walking down the sidewalk, and a big truck drove by, and he said, "You don't have to tell us you've got a small penis." And this was an older guy who works at community corrections. And I just laughed my ass off because, number one, it's funny. Number two, I wasn't expecting an older gentleman to get the reference of that. And I never said that to him. And he said it to me because we kind of know each other, right? We're neighbors here. So, you know, it's not just the rice burners, the Hondas with the glass packs or whatever it is. But I can't understand why you would want to have a Honda or a small car that makes so much flipping noise when you are between shifting gears. I mean, it's literally the loudest pop, pop, pop. It sounds like a gunshot, like a handgun. So anyway, I digress. Thank you for listening to that. And if you got any comments on my commentary, you, of course, can always, you know the email. You can send me an email at kevin@knsradionetwork.com. You can also find me on Facebook. It's Kevin, K-E-I-T-H. I also am the administrator of KNS Radio and Morning Sickness on KNS Radio, all on Facebook. So I want you to reach out to me. I love hearing from you. If you would like to put it in a little more prepared form of typing it out and having cogent, understanding thoughts, we certainly welcome editorials. So you are welcome to do that and submit that any way you'd like through Facebook, on Messenger. If you got my my cell number, my personal cell, feel free to reach out. Shoot me a text. You know you can. Only call if you have to, because you know I hate talking on the phone. But if you've got my personal cell, you can text me 24/7. And again, the email is kevin@knsradionetwork.com. Again, want to thank our community-minded partners. We've got Heather's Flowers, The Oasis Frankfurt, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction Frankfurt, ProByte Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting, all with the KNS Radio Network. All right, and so something I wanted to also discuss today, before it got too far down the line, because it's already a week old, and this is something, two things actually, that happened at last Monday's Clinton County's Commissioners meeting, and I wish the audio was better. I don't know, even if I went, I pulled this off YouTube, because at least they take the time to broadcast it live on YouTube and then leave it up there so people can go back and watch. And that's one thing I will give our commissioners credit for, that they put it all out there, good or bad, as a lot of counties now do. It may even be a state law that you have to provide that. I don't think so, but our commissioners at least try to do that in some form of transparency. But this isn't going to be a kiss the commissioners meeting, commentary opinion piece here, because I was quite taken aback at the pettiness. Now, before we get into this, I wanted to mention that I pulled some audio from this meeting last Monday, which would have been, let's see, let me pull it up so we're accurate here, would have been the 14th of October. And there's two things that stuck out to me. Both had to do with Clinton County Sheriff Rich Kelly, who was in attendance, who is in attendance at most of the commissioners' meetings. From what I've heard, there's only about five people that go to these on a regular basis, and that's a little disturbing, but they do meet at like 9 o'clock or 9:30, I believe. And it's tough for anyone to get out that early unless you're retired, right? So when I went to pull this audio over the weekend and edit it down for you so you didn't have to listen to 27 minutes of change orders for the roundabout out at the interstate, the audio quality sucks. And I just can't believe that it's 2024. We've got a video camera that's pretty good quality. It's just one shot, though. There is no zooming in. They don't do a nice job like the city, where if there's someone speaking at the podium, which is off camera, they have a secondary camera that goes to them and shows you part of that like picture in picture thing. So the video is good quality. It's just like one wide shot, though. And then the audio sucks. And again, maybe with the $18 million building monstrosity we have here on the courthouse square in a year or two when it's built. Maybe they'll have state-of-the-art audio and video equipment. I sure as a hell hope so for $18 million. We better have a full studio in there for $18 million. But anyway, I pulled this audio and I manipulated it a little bit audio-wise to take out some treble and add a little bass to make it a little more clear, but it's still tough. But what I wanted to, two things here. At the meeting last Monday, Clinton County Sheriff Rich Kelly sent over a public document to commissioners explaining his request to ask the Merit Board to terminate Deputy Melissa Trupp at the upcoming Merit Board meeting, which was last Wednesday. This was 2 days before last Wednesday's meeting, which we covered at KNS. Commissioner's President Jordan Brewer proved his bias and took the time to be petty in an official open to the public meeting. I really felt like this was a waste of time, but I watch and I remember how petty this relationship is. It's not surprising. It's just been like a year or two since I've been to a commissioner meeting. And so I guess I was hoping that everybody had matured a little bit or something, but this was, to me, it felt like a little bit of a waste of time and just one opportunity for Jordan Brewer, our commissioner president, who you elected, to embarrass the sheriff, or at least try to. Now, the sheriff can hold his own. He's had 4 or 5 or 6 years of getting shit thrown at him. So I think the sheriff's learned how to think on his feet if he wasn't already able to. But I felt like this was a waste of time. I've got this audio clip here I'm going to play for you, but it goes to show you how childish this commissioner's board is and how Brewer will take pretty much any opportunity, including a public meeting, to pretend like he's a defense attorney and take the opportunity to take a cheap shot at the sheriff. This is Brewer clip number one. Here it runs about a minute and a half.
Sheriff, I got one for you.
Yes, sir.
So you sent over a document last evening.
I did.
A public document. I just want to read a quick excerpt from it. All my questions not specific to it,
yes,
but is it general? And so I believe this was from you. It says sheriff's recommendation. It says, it is my duty to hold the deputies of my office accountable. It was also determined that Deputy Trump was untruthful and withheld information during the internal investigation into the criminal conduct. This gross misconduct must be addressed in a way that sends a clear message of zero tolerance, or the faith of the public and standard of this office will be compromised. And then it says, Deputy Trump's conduct is a violation of Indiana law contrary to the established rules and regulations of the Clinton County Sheriff's Office and Clinton County Sheriff's Merit Board, known to and accepted by Deputy Trump upon her employment with this office. Because of her dishonesty, she can no longer serve as a credible law enforcement witness and can no longer serve to protect the victims of such crimes. So that's your statement, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So does that also not apply to yourself and Ashley?
That is something to be determined, that the Merit Board has no depiction of our employment or our position as my position as an elected official. So,
but the matron's position follows through with the Clinton County Sheriff's Office Law Enforcement Policy Manual, or no?
No, it does not.
Does not? Oh, okay. All right. That's just curious.
So, again, why the hell would Jordan Brewer even ask that question? He was reading what Sheriff Kelly had sent over as a courtesy to let the commissioners know what the Merit Board was doing and his feelings on Melissa Trump as to what he feels that should be happening from a disciplinary standpoint. I don't know. I think Jordan's a smart enough guy that he realizes this has nothing to do with the paperwork that the sheriff had sent over as a courtesy again to the commissioners. Now, I'm still trying to figure out any good reason as to why he would ask that question other than to embarrass the sheriff, or try to embarrass the sheriff there. As he asked, does this not apply to you, as the defense attorney asked 2 nights later? I find that a little coincidental too. Now, when he asked that, does that not apply to you and Ashley, he knew the answer to that. he was wanting an opinion from the sheriff to try to talk himself in a corner and say, well, yeah, I guess it maybe it should. Well, you know, again, the sheriff can think on his feet. He's a big boy. I was just kind of disappointed that the commissioners, our elected officials, are taking the time to waste even 2 minutes of our time. So it gets better, though. And this is a 9-minute clip I'm going to play for you. You're going to hear Burt Weaver to start with. You're going to hear Sheriff Kelly in the middle. And then you hear a few more smart aleck remarks from Jordan Brewer, our commissioner president, at the end. And this is, again, what I consider petty. However, I want to give full disclosure here. I see where the commissioners are coming from on this. So, later in the meeting, when it was time to approve payroll, Commissioner Burt Weaver expressed concern as to employees of the Sheriff's Department not clocking in and clocking out at the exact times. Some were just providing total hours. So, an example would be like, you go into work at 8 o'clock, you clock in at 8 o'clock. You take a lunch break at 11, you clock out at 11. You come back at noon, you clock in at noon. You leave at 4 for the day, you clock out at 4 for the day, right? That's the way most people do it if you clock in and out. Burt Weaver said he wanted this done by every single employee of the Sheriff's Department, as all the other 300 county employees have to do, with the exception of a few department heads, including the sheriff. He doesn't have to clock in and out, right? The sheriff is the leader and the manager of the Sheriff's Department. So I get what the commissioners are saying. I understand fully that you could clock in and clock out. You should to hold yourself accountable and hold just prove to your superiors that you're working the hours you're supposed to work. However, it's how you go about it, and it's the tone taken by Burt Weaver. Again, I get some of this, but the sheriff goes on to give a 2-minute answer on how he recently met with the auditor's office and even the State Board of Accounts recently, and there were no issues brought up on their part, but the commissioner sure had a problem with it, as you are about to hear. So here we go. This runs about 9 minutes. Again, you have Burt Weaver, Sheriff Kelly, and Jordan Brewer with a few petty remarks at the end.
Statement before we go to approving the payroll. Sheriff, I would like to, and I'll be honest, I was initially not going to approve payroll because, sure, once again, it's not what we're asking for. And I'd like to just simply get you and the payroll department together so that, in fact, we can solve the issue. We can't accept just group hours. So, you know, Joe Blow working 82 hours or 87 hours as a group isn't what we need. We need to have it just like everybody else in the county does, clock in, clock out. You know, your employee starts at 8, goes to lunch at 11, comes back at 12, and leaves at 4. I think you've got a clock-in department yourself, or a clock-in mechanism, do you not? That's yours?
It's not mine, it's the county's.
I understand.
And employees do have, there's two locations at the sheriff's office.
So you do have that ability then?
But we're covering things that have already been covered. And as far as, I had a long conversation with the auditor yesterday, and none of that information was, nothing was brought up to me. I asked her about payroll. It seems like there's always something on payroll that has to be discussed between the auditor's office and the administrative assistants that do the payroll here at the sheriff's office, and the clock-in system wasn't discussed as far as a system. System's there. The county put a lot of money into the system and to the program, and as far as everybody uses it that needs to be on it, we talked about people that are clocking in too early. That was an issue, and I said, okay, well, they're getting there at 8:15 instead of 8:30 or 8:24, because there's a grace period. So that's what we discussed yesterday. And I said, absolutely, I can remind them that, hey, you can go to your desk, come back, and then clock in later. And, you know, and hopefully they don't go to their desk, get busy, forget, and then we'll have shortage of hours. So we're talking about an hour and 15 at the end of you know, a two-week pay period or whatever the days are. And so it was a pretty simple, and that was the discussion yesterday. So as far as, you know, making sure that they're, hey, don't do it before 8:25. You know, so that was a discussion with just a couple of the employees. And so I think that has been rectified. I think there won't be an hour and 15 minutes of overtime because they've been clocking in at 8:15 instead of 8:25. So nobody's ever clocked out early and said the two people can't really, because they're held to the office hours. So they can't clock in, you know, too early, because they are there until the doors close or the lights go out at 4:30 is when they're the office closes. So I've spoke with them and said, hey, just make sure that you clock in and don't get that, 10 minutes a day that, you know, is going to accumulate over the pay period, and make sure that you do that. So, you know, and that's like, I've been, you know, directly talking to the auditor in regards to making those corrections. And as far as the payroll summary, I need to have more discussion with her in regards to, because they sent what they use and what we use, because we have a different recording system than what the county uses. And in that recording system, they mirror each other with what is required, what the auditor's asking for. So we're going to try and get to that point of maybe we'll just adopt that her system, and that way there's no question what the hours are, and there's a proper verification that she approves or likes. So we're going to have that conversation.
There are several people that they're simply turning in 85 hours, or in one case, 105 hours. The problem is that there is no record of exactly when they worked or didn't work. So you just can't throw up and say,
who were those people?
Well, one of them is your matron, worked 105 hours, and that's what she turned in, was 105 hours.
And she's an appointed, exempt person that is not going to.
The only person
we went this. Yeah, they keep track of the time, but what SBO is said to do, and that's what the timesheets. Now, as far as shifts, if you want her to add the shift, then maybe we can do that. And you know, and if that, I see where the problem is. It's because you and the other commissioner don't want that person working there.
Has nothing to do with that.
It has everything to do with it, because she's an exempt employee that doesn't track hours, regardless of what
she has to keep track of her hours.
She does. Right. She gives you a sheet that the SBOA approved.
Every day?
No.
Of Monday, I work this. Tuesday, I work this.
Those sheets are at the sheriff's office and belong to the sheriff's office.
It belongs to the sheriff's office. How can the auditor pay her if they don't see it?
They verify the hours. They can come over and verify the hours, or it can be brought to them and verified.
Everybody else sends it to them. That's the point. Why is your office and your people exempt from doing it like everybody else in the county?
You're talking about one person.
No, there's eight of them.
And who's the other eight?
Well, your maintenance man doesn't do it, for example. He bumps in their total amounts at the same time.
And we've already talked about where they're going to go back, and they're going to go on the time clock.
Well, they should.
So that they,
everybody,
they should all be on the county time clock.
Except for you.
Yeah.
You're the only person that does not have to clock in and account for the hours. Everybody else does. We have over 300 employees, and everyone in the county does the same thing. So you tell me why your department can't do that.
See, at the end of the day, it really just comes down to there's no leadership of your department.
And I would say the same as the county. So if you want to fight back and forth,
yeah,
we will. You approved a conflict of interest with Alan Dunn last week that had pre-approved. Okay, 2 weeks ago. Pre-approved a three-year conflict of interest when he's been on the county property for 3 years.
He had one then when we did the first contract.
Never uploaded to the state of Indiana.
Okay. Well, we don't upload it.
You want to go back and forth with this?
We can go back and forth all day.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, you're not going to win this.
We will look at the hours, and we've talked to Britt, and Britt has never made that request to me to have her sheets. When the auditor, the elected official, makes that request, I'll sit with her and we'll get it figured out.
Well, you need to understand and back up a little bit. Last commissioner's meeting, I asked you to specifically do the same thing. We addressed this then in this board meeting. If you want to go back and play it, you can.
We will.
And previously before that, I asked to make sure that hours were reported properly along with payroll.
And that's a conversation with the auditor.
No, that was a conversation.
That we had that, but I went to the auditor and have talked to the auditor every week since then in regards to
the
issues
and approves payroll, not the auditor.
Okay.
She puts it together, I approve it. And I'm not going to go continually down this road with you and simply say that we're not going to do this any longer. I'm not going to get accused for of ghost employment or not keeping track of records. And it's not fair to every 300 other employees that we have here do it right, and you don't get to because you think you're a different department. You're employees of the county. As the executive branch, we're charged with approving your payroll. So if you wanted to get approved and your other people, you need to do it what we're asking for. And it's not that big of a deal. Why is it everybody else can do it, but the sheriff's department can't? All you got to do is clock in. I'm asking if you come in at 7 in the morning, clock in at 7 in the morning. If they turn around and go at lunch at 2, you go at 2. Clock in and clock out, just like everybody else does. And that's all I'm asking for.
We'll adhere to it.
A state law that says you're accountable to that.
And the State Board of Accounts has just left our office on an audit. None of this was brought up by the State Board of Accounts, and we will talk with the auditor, and we will find what the auditor needs.
You don't work for the State Board of Accounts, but you do work for the county of which we are the executive branch, and this is what
I work for the community that elected me, and dealing with you has been atrocious.
Well, then I can say the same, but at the same time, the answers are, so the same
theory that you're upholding is
for everybody.
Right. Okay. And again, if it's not done by the next payroll, I'm not approving it.
Very good. I promise you, I will be with the auditor, and we will get to where your adherence is, where you want it to be.
Thank you. I have my doubts.
That's your Clinton County Commissioner's President, Jordan Brewer, throwing in a cheap shot there at the end. I doubt it. I hope the sheriff does. And if you heard the sheriff, he was pretty damn respectful to these two who were up there not being respectful. And for Jordan to say that it just goes to a lack of leadership in the department of the sheriff's department, man, that takes some balls. I'll give him that. That's pretty bold. So I'm not saying the commissioners are wrong to request it this way. And you heard Sheriff Kelly say, hey, we will have it the way you want with every little line that you want by the next time to approve that payroll. I'd sure like to see them not approve the payroll. We'd see probably a mutiny. But my question is, it's how they go about it. Would they do it the same with another sheriff? Brewer even accused the sheriff of his payroll as the example of a lack of leadership in his department. Again, that's kind of a petty, childish comment. Would any other sheriff be under scrutiny like this? That's my question, and I think I know the answer to it. And regardless of who you voted or who you will vote for, I think you know the answer to that too. So, since they're being petty, I'm going to be a little petty. I expect my elected officials to be in jeans every now and then. You know, we're all leisurely and take it easy sometimes on the weekend or if we're at the hot dog festival or something. And every now and then, maybe, right? But both commissioners were in blue jeans. Josh Hewitts was not in attendance. Both Bert and Jordan were in blue jeans. And the president, Jordan Brewer, had on a hoodie and sneakers. It kind of looked like a frat party from Animal House. The top part of Jordan's hoodie said, "Nobody cares." It was a black hoodie with white lettering. It said, "Nobody cares." I couldn't see in the video what the bottom part was of what he thought nobody cared about, but I sure as a hell would love to know. Bert at least had a buttoned-up dress shirt and then an outside cold weather vest, but he also had blue jeans on, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, tennis shoes. If we're electing you to be the top administration for the county, and I go to watch a YouTube video, live or recorded, or I go to that meeting, you know, I kind of expect a professional dress. I'm not saying you got to wear a tux. I'm not even saying you got to wear a tie, although that'd be nice. And I know these people have other jobs that they go to sometimes and throughout the day, or at least maybe Jordan does, but I think he's a farmer. And I think Bert's retired. So I expect our Clinton County commissioners to be having a business casual, if nothing else. Have a nice polo. Have a nice button-up T-shirt. Have a button-up shirt. Have a nice pair of khakis or some black or burgundy slacks or something. Wear dress shoes. Wear look respectful. Look professional. So I'm not saying that anything was done wrong. I'm not saying that the sheriff's department employees should not clock out like every other county employee. I think they should, if that's the rules. Also, I don't think there's any violation of not wearing a shirt and tie or a nice polo or a button-up shirt or a pair of khakis or something, but I just expect a little more. That's my opinion only, okay? I'm so glad I've got some time to do this as we move on here, as we are coming up on the 9 o'clock hour. Mary Lynn Peter is in charge again, has put herself in charge, has come up with it on her own for the Christmas tree lighting ceremony for 2024. And she had a great idea a couple years ago to have the community donate things, and then she would be in charge of an auction. So I want you to go to the Tree Lighting Festival Auction 2024 and like the page. You've got a chance to shop for yourself or for gifts through this Saturday, October 26th, okay? Now, all you got to do is punch that in or go to Mary Lynn Peter's page as well, all right? So I wanted to go through a few things that she's got, that she's posted earlier this month, and it gives you the full chance of a full month almost of time to get on there and bid. And a lot of people bid that day, but then it kind of tapers off a little bit, and we just want to create the awareness and keep people up there. I just wanted to mention a few things that she's got up there for bidding and auction. And again, all the proceeds go to the Christmas tree lighting ceremony. And there's a big party at the Prairie Creek Park as we get a little closer to the time. So she's added two 8x8 photographs on canvas by Cherry Cooper Flora to the auction, so make sure you check those out as well. She's got information up there about the annual Christmas auction, and it's got a link to the Facebook page. So I wanted to go here and see some of the items up for bid, and it looks like there's quite a few. She's got some stuff from Maria Medina, Mary Moore Brown, Robin Hall, and Big Country Barbecue. And so a lot of items there over the past week or so. I saw 4x4 engraved coasters on slate. This, of course, is done by Randy Pillion of the Frankfort High School. And it also looks like one of the old passenger car trains over at TPA Park, and another recognizable landmark from TPA Park. Starting bid $20 for all four of those. Let's see. I'll just randomly look here and see. Sin Wilson's got up to $25, so she's leading that auction so far. She's got it. There's a looks like brand new Bushnell telescope. Bushnell is a very good brand of binoculars too. This is the Deep Space series. Starting bid is just $20 for this brand new in the box. 420 times is what it can zoom into. Let's see what kind of bids we've got on that. Top bid so far is $35. I'm not going to mention the names because it may be a gift for someone, and I don't want to ruin that. There's Coca-Cola lot number one. It's a Coca-Cola opener, cards, coasters, 10 double-pack playing cards. Starting bid there is $20. There's a brand new black Levi's sock hat. Starting bid is $10. It's still in the plastic. There's the Kelly Car Wash, 2 one-time use cards, good for any of the 2 automatic washes. Starting bid there is $10. There's sealed Beatles playing cards in a nice little tin box here. Starting bid is $10. That's pretty cool. It's got a picture of the Beatles when they were in their prime, a special edition playing card set, so that's cool. Also, there's a nice, I love artwork. There's three Jim Gray pencil on paper pictures. Each of them measure 16 by 13. Starting bid there is $20. There's a new Levi's blue sock hat. I kind of like that blue. It's starting out at $10. Levi's, of course, a very good brand. There is a Pennsylvania Railroad caboose painting on slate, measures 10 by 8. Starting bid there is $10. It looks super cool. Let's see. These look like a little bit of a cross stitch of some kind of dog. So I don't know if those are coasters or what, but you can make up your mind. There's a really cool photo of an 8x8 lion photograph on canvas. Starting bid is $10. A couple more Levi's sock hats, brand new with the tag still on them. This one is maroon. This is cool as heck. Two Joe St. Clair paperweights on lighted stand. Starting bid is $20 for both of them from the Elwood Glass Company. But oh my gosh, those are so pretty. They get a little bit of a yellow and a black, and that lighted stand really makes it stand up and pop out. And then a little bell is one of them as well. I'm going to save those photos. I may know someone I can get that for them. They love paperweights, and she's a good friend of mine. I may have to pick that up, but I know she's probably listening, so I may have just ruined the gift. Rise and Brew Coffee Company, $20 gift certificate. Starting bid is $10 there. How about a pound of beef brisket? Starting bid $20 for Big Country Barbecue. I Am the Light, a 23 by 18 framed lighthouse picture. Starting bid is $15. Randy Pillion also put together four more slates for Christmas, a nice little Christmas tree, a Merry Grinchmas with a Grinch. And then You're Never Too Old to Search the Skies on Christmas Eve. And then a wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. If you've seen Jerry's stuff, it's Randy's stuff, it's very cool. Randy Pillion putting together those cool slate things. I had him do some for K&S as well. I gave them out to the sponsors. There's a lead crystal decanter. It measures 11 inches tall with a square stopper. Starting bid there is $10. That's a heck of a deal. Another four-piece set of coasters on slate from Randy. Starting is $20 there. Lady Steve Madden black sock hat. Starting bid is $10. This looks a little more heavier duty. And I love this. It's a reversible IU blanket. It measures 57 by 45. Starting bid is $20 on that. There's a sealed Exile on Mainstream album from Matchbox 20. Of course, Kyle Cook, Frankfurt resident. It's a two-album set. Starting bid there is $15. And then a vintage Carnival glass plate and bowl. Starting bid there is $15. Again, the Tree Lighting Festival auction 2024 is the group that you need to join. It's a public group, so you can join that and you don't have to answer a bunch of crazy questions and stuff. All right. As always, friends, if you'd like to get in touch with me, please do so. You can email me anytime, kevin@knsradionetwork.com. Got our station email set up a couple weeks ago, so we've got that. That's kevin@knsradionetwork.com. If you've got me as a friend on Facebook, you could also reach out on Messenger or leave me a message there or post something on my page. Just keep it nice. Keep it civil anyway. And if you've got my cell phone number, you could also reach out via text anytime. I'm not giving it out, but most of you have it. Okay, so that's all right. Also want to welcome a new community-minded partner to the KNS Radio Network. I get so darn excited every time we get a new one. This is a business that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with if you've been through Mulberry at all. We've already got Granny's Goodies out there, so when you're stopping out getting goodies from Granny, also, if it's the right day, I want you to stop out and say hi to Jim and his daughter or one of their employees who's working for him at Sanford and Daughter. This is kind of like a flea market inside. Jim's got cool stuff, and I know Jim's business philosophy. He likes, he's not looking to make top dollar when you go in there and you buy antiques or collectibles or something. He wants to get a fair price, but he wants to price it right so you feel like you get a good deal and you'll come back and do business with him as well. So Jim is not looking to get rich. I'm also in this business, so I'm telling you, we don't get rich off this, okay? It just gets in your blood, and you have a little bit of fun with it. So Sanford and Daughter in Mulberry, one of our new sponsors. Thank you very much, Jim. So we want to thank our community-minded partners. We wrap up the program here. Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Grady's Goodies in Mulberry, Jim City Junction, Marchand's, Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, and Pro Bike Computers in Frankfort. 90s at 9 coming up here at KNS. Have a great day. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. for Morning Sickness from the KNS Radio Network. I'm Kevin Keith for the KNS Radio Network.